Somebody once said, you know, being busy is the worst form of laziness. I fucking love that because it's so true.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, let's go. So today we're going to talk about how should and how can founders manage their time.
Yes.
How the fuck do you do it?
How do I do it?
Yeah. Like, what are your rules of managing your time? Do you manage your time? How do you think about the way you use up your time on a daily basis?
All right. I am sure nobody does it like I do.
I'm sure too.
And
oh, fuck yeah, I'm sure.
And I'm also sure that you have to do it the way that gives you energy. So Paul Graham wrote an essay about maker versus manager.
Yes.
I like the segregation of making time, which is when you're sitting in front of a computer in a notebook and actually thinking and writing and doing. So writing code is the most obvious one. Writing a blog post, doing a sales call, right? I consider all that maker time, right? Yep. And that's what he says in a nutshell. Then there's manager time. And that's when you're actually not making things. You're managing, whatever that means, right? To me, that means I am talking to someone on the team. I'm trying to hire people. I'm having coffee meetings or talking to an investor generally is manager time. So manager time for me is mostly conversations. That's the way I bucket it. And a lot of people will say, oh, you should make time for maker time, make time for the manager time and schedule all your time and all that kind of stuff. Me, what I do, this is my process, is I am very strict about managing my own time. I don't have an assistant. I have friends that run amazing startups that do like the automatic, like add that person, but it's really a machine or some background job in. And I think a lot of people need that because they don't manage their own time.
Yeah.
I prefer to manage my own time because I know where I'm going to be. I know how I can do the calls in between. And I think someone else would have a nightmare managing my time, even if it's a VA or something.
Okay.
So I manage my own time. That's my first rule.
Yeah.
But the reason is I respect my own time. That's why I manage my own time. I feel like if I'm not putting things in the calendar, I don't know what the hell's going on. And so it's important to me to manage my own time. That's where I start.
Okay.
The other thing that for me, and then I'll let you kind of talk about yourself about this, is that I try to only do things that are high leverage, and I have a style that's more oriented around that. So even like if I talk to a founder or an entrepreneur or somebody and I'm giving them advice, I'm actually having practice for giving advice to people on my team.
Hmm. Okay.
And so I sort of tune my conversations around getting practice of what I care about that gives me the most leverage. So the example is if somebody on my team calls, they usually have something they want to ask me about. Hopefully it's not something crazy and a big problem, although I'm always available for those big problems and those people on my team have a priority. So if I actually got a call from one of two or three people right now, I would cancel it because we're in the middle of recording, but I would call them right away as soon as possible, even more so than potentially my wife, because that's just really important. They don't bug me unless they need something or it's scheduled, right? So I tend to keep my time relatively open in that way, but I only focus on the highest leverage things I can do, and that's usually not making. It's usually managing or having conversations or, in short, unblocking the team. Because I think there's personal time and then there's time for your team. And what I mean by personal time for me is like what I get energy from, what I like to do.
What are those things?
I like to have conversations with people, whether it's people on my team or founders, with a bias towards having them take action. It's probably where we're aligned. And I also like to only make things that only I can do.
Elaborate. Like, what do you mean by?
I think other people can do things way better than me.
Okay.
So I try my hardest not to do those things that someone else on my team or that I can hire or I can pay or I can just get a volunteer to do something that's better spent by them. But my calculus there is 15 minutes for me equals like 4 hours from them. So if I can spend 15 minutes with them to explain something and then they can go off and do it, that's like my dream, like to do that process.
Okay.
That's what I got.
All right. We'll dig a little deeper in this. So this is some good shit. I think that on my end, the way that I think about my time is that So first of all, I like to eliminate things I don't like, right? So, or things, I like the way of thinking of like what gives me energy and what costs energy from me. If I can have a super packed day, but every single thing I do just makes me feel like I'm more and more energized, more and more alive, that's an amazing day. I come home, I'm like pumped.
Yeah.
I can have a day with only like two or three things happening, but if all of them cost me energy, I'm done for the rest of the day and I'm going to come home and be like super tired. So I like to do things that give me energy and I like to eliminate things that don't give me energy. So for instance, some of the things we've eliminated is having meetings in the company.
Yeah.
Most of our team communication is done in chat. When we really we try to have like 2 30-minute meetings a week in the Monday and a Friday just to catch up on what's happening and what is going to happen. And then when we need to have like these long conversations, these long brainstorms and meetings, we do that once every 3 months when we go on a team retreat somewhere around the world, right?
Yeah.
So I don't like to spend time in meetings. I typically don't like to meet people in person, except you.
Yeah.
But if you're not part of my team and you want to meet with me in person, which happens multiple times every week, I tend to say no.
Yeah.
Because going somewhere, meeting with you is much harder for me than just having a call if I need to talk to you or telling you something in an email.
Yeah.
And when I do calls, they typically are 15 minutes because I found out that I can accomplish almost anything I want and need in 15 minutes versus 30 or 60.
Yeah.
So I'll have 4 calls in an hour versus 1 or 2. And then I do batch my time. So I do have certain days where I do have an assistant. I used to use some of that like machine thing that acts like a human being. Now we're trying out to really have like an executive assistant that helps with a shit ton of things also personal from my personal life that I don't enjoy doing. So I have more time doing what I really love. And I do basically have certain days where there's no meetings and no calls scheduled where I know like Mondays, for instance, I know I want to catch up with what I want to do in the week with what happened over the weekend. I know I want to spend some extra time with my team. So I don't want to have meetings on Mondays.
Yep.
So there's just a few days where there's no meetings, no calls. And then there's the days where I have them. I like to batch them by topic. And I like usually to do them after lunch because in the mornings I like to do to have maker time, if you to use that paradigm. I like to create content. I like to make decisions, hard decisions. I want to spend time with my team. And then after lunch, I can do like 20 calls and I'm fine because it's time that's less productive typically for me. Yeah, so those are some of the things. And then, you know, I think where we align on what I'm interested in, we're not just founders that manage time, but we're also family man that manage.
Right.
So we're parents, we're fathers, right?
Yeah.
So I like to be home by 6 p.m. so I can have dinner with my kids and I can put my kids to bed.
Yeah.
I like to spend the first hour or so with my kids in the morning to have breakfast with them.
Yeah.
And I don't work on weekends typically because I want to be with my family.
Yeah.
Same for you. What's your schedule in general?
Yeah. Mine, I try to be home for dinner at least half the week. So like 3 out of 5 days because there are dinner things that go on. And so I aim for that. Usually I'm about at about 2 right now. And then on the weekends, I will work on the weekends, but I will not leave home on the weekends. So I stay at home, spend as much time as possible with the family, but I do end up having to work on the weekends.
So this is an interesting one because I know, for instance, that you don't want to travel for conferences and events and things like that.
Yeah.
And I do travel quite a bit,
right?
I always combine it with bring my family along and then having us all visit family in Europe.
Yeah.
But I do travel quite a bit and you're like, and try to get Heaton to join for some event somewhere. And he's like, if it's out of the country, for fucking get it. Like, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, is that just because you don't like to travel? Is that a family thing, a managing time thing?
Yeah.
Why don't you like to travel?
So my family, especially my wife, generally doesn't like to travel, right? And hers is very simple. Traveling costs money. And she doesn't like to spend money. Like that's just, she's just very simple.
You're
like
an
that,
awesome wife.
Right? Yeah, she's awesome. And so she doesn't like to spend money. So we don't travel that much. For me personally, I don't like traveling because my kids are still relatively young and it's nice to watch them grow up. And after one of my son is 5 and a half and my daughter is 15 months. And after watching my son grow up, it's not like I missed anything or feel like I missed anything, but like I want to keep watching them grow up and I want to have some memories and I want to take those pictures and videos and I want them to remember, you know, me as they grew up, not just me like busy, right? So I tend to not wanting to travel. I tend to not want to disrupt my schedule, whatever that is, or my routine of just doing whatever I do in the area by traveling. I think it really, for me, it messes up my rhythm, basically, when I travel.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about saying no to things, right? So you have certain preferences on how you manage your time. Yeah. But I know that you're a pretty high profile guy. You're super successful. You've helped so many fucking people. I'm sure there's a crazy amount of like people reaching out wanting time from you.
Yeah.
It's that happens for me. So it must happen at a multiplier for you. Yeah. How do you decide yes, no? How do you help these people? What's your way of gatekeeping that time? Because there's more demand for it than you have available. So how do you pick and choose who you help or who you give how much time a day and how?
Yeah, I think everyone has their own way of how they think about it. When I think about who I help and how I decide to help them and all that, for me, the first highest layer is actually the word I'll say is like relationship. So like if you introduce me to somebody and I have a strong relationship with you, and you haven't really introduced me to anybody who I shouldn't be introduced to, or like that doesn't make sense for me or is not contextual, then I generally will take that introduction and have a bias for always trying to be as helpful as possible. So it's not about that, but it's more about not just letting the person you introduced me to down, so to speak, but not letting you down, right? So in that case, if that person really wants to meet in person, I might go make that happen, right? Just because of how much I value you and your opinion of the introduction. But that's how I think about it, right? So, but the three tactics, as you've already said them, are you can help somebody, meet with them and help them, and that's in person. You can do it on a phone call, 15 minutes in your case. I try to do that as well. Sometimes mine are usually 30, but I've been trying to work at the 15, especially once you said it and that you've been effective with it. And then the other one is obviously email, right? And trying to do a lot with email. And I think as like you, I can do a lot with email. For email, I found one interesting thing, which is I actually do get, a lot of people will push something to email and they don't get a response back from the other person. Like if, you know, I say, oh, email. So I found all these tactics that I use to make sure they actually email me back. Right. So sometimes I'll ask a specific question. Sometimes I'll say in email, hey, let's start by email. Let me know blah, blah, blah. And something specific about what I think they want to talk about. Right. And then the email tactic for me has been very effective.
How do you manage email? Because I've noticed that you're both super responsive.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you're giving really like thoughtful replies, not just super short replies. So do you have any like productivity tips for people out there on how you manage a massive amount of volume in the email and doing it well?
Yeah, I use SaneBox. So the first thing I use is SaneBox, where a lot of things that are first time emails and all that get in a special folder.
Okay.
They also keep all the newsletter stuff in a special folder for me, and they automatically are managing my email. I've used them for like 2 years. I can't live without that.
SaneBox.
It's like priority inbox from Gmail, but not priority inbox from Gmail. A lot more productized.
Cool. Never heard of it.
It's very cool.
Cool.
So it keeps my inbox very, if you've already emailed me, you'll get in.
Okay.
Like email me and I've responded.
Yep.
If you haven't, it's hard to get in unless you get intro from someone else.
Okay.
So it lets everything in that's highest priority automatically. Then I look at the other folder like once every day or two.
Mm.
Right? So that's like the easiest tactic. Anyone can do it if they get a high volume and it works. It's sanebox.com. The other thing I do is I embrace email. And I think a lot of people, we've gotten used to hating email.
Yeah.
I embrace it. I say, give me more email. You know why though? It's something that sort of it's evolved my thinking since I've met you, is I'm doing that to basically have less in-person and phone call meetings if I tell you email me. Because then it's like email is the mode.
Yeah.
So if I get more email, I'm good with that. I just have to deal with processing email. I don't have to deal with scheduling every in-person meeting or even a phone call. So you're doing less scheduling if you focus on doing more with email. That's my thesis.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then it's on your time. It's not a synchronous like chat.
Yeah.
Right? It's asynchronous. So you send it, I respond whenever I want.
Yeah.
Right? So like a thoughtful email I wrote yesterday, I have a lot of practice writing emails like that. I'll give my tip about it at the end.
Okay.
But I was able to crank that out in about 7 minutes.
Okay.
Right? But it was long.
All right.
Right?
Yeah. It was long. It was super valuable.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a tip on email that I want to give to people, irregardless of how much volume you're getting. So here's one simple philosophy that I have to email is I don't read without making a decision. So I will not, I used to read all my emails first, marinate on it, and then at some fucking point in the future, maybe or maybe not, do something about this. And all it did is polluted my fucking mind. I stopped that. Because I realized that I want to do that, I don't have email on my phone. I have email deleted on my iPhone because I know on the phone I'm good at, like, I'm going to read all my emails that I'm getting, but I'm almost never going to reply to anything. Now what I do is when I open an email, I'll make a decision on it. And the decision is, do I want to reply right now? Do I want to delete or archive? Or do I want to snooze this? So, you know, I use a tool that allows me to be reminded of this a week from now too. Yep. So I'm almost always at inbox zero because I instantly make a decision. Is this something I need to deal with now? Never? You know, or next week?
Yep.
And those are the questions that I cite. And it helps me both manage the huge amount of volume and also never have that constant feel of overwhelmment in my inbox while trying to accomplish other things at the same time.
Yep.
So what other tips do we have for people that are founders, maybe in the earlier stages? Maybe they're not getting lots of people emailing them that want advice from them. Maybe they need to just, like, they have tons of time, but the question is, how do I invest my time best, especially in the early days? Do you have any tips to people, like, how not to waste time or how to effectively use time in the early days as a founder?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the early days is all about the user or the customer. If you're a B2C business, it's the user. If you're a B2B business, it's a customer. So if I were building a B2C business right now and I knew that I needed to go get college students using it, I'd be spending a lot of time at colleges. So just in front of them, embracing it, doing what they call method acting and just trying to understand, going native in their environment and just absorbing everything about the user or the customer. So I think for a B2C business, I would be doing that. If you're a B2B business, I'd be spending as much time as possible reading everything my customers read, talking to my customers, and optimize whatever I'm doing around that and that activity alone. Because the belief I have and what I've seen proven over and over again is the more you understand, the more you know about who you're serving as a business, the better off you're going to be, period. So like if I had a coffee shop, I'd be the guy walking around bothering people that were reading, be like, hey, how'd you find us? Hey, I'm the owner, right? Like, you know, I'd be sort of trying to understand why they came in.
Yeah.
Right. And like, how do I get more of them to come in? Who are they? Right. Is there something special about them that like that will help me get more of them? So I'd do the same in any of these businesses. Early on, your user, your customer, people who you don't know that well happen to be those people, but they're people you're going to need to know really, really well. You got to live their lives, basically. If I could, I'd go live at their houses.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking love that. That's a great quote. If I could in the early days, I would live at the houses of my users.
Yes.
Right. And my customers. Fuck yeah. So here's another tip from my side on this for early founders, which is stop fucking around. Like there's a massive amount of activities that I would all put into the category of you're fucking around right now and you just need to eliminate a bunch of them.
Okay, let's list them out.
Fucking around is going to events and conferences before you have something.
I knew that was the first one.
Yes. It's talking to other companies that don't have any traction about partnerships so that both companies with no users can partner into nothing, right?
Yes.
Partnerships and business development relationship with organizations that can bring you nothing right now. That's fucking around. Working on your logo, working on your name, working on the template design for your blog, working on your fucking signature, working on your business cards, all that shit feels like work and it makes you busy, but it's fucking around. It's doing work that's safe because you're not confronted with reality. You're not going to get rejected. You're not going to have anybody tell you that you suck and your ideas suck. You're not going to see people being confused by what you're trying to accomplish. You're not going to get people tell you no because it's not. It feels
you're
like work.
Producing work.
You're busy. That's what you are. And I love that quote. Somebody once said, you know, being busy is the worst form of laziness. I fucking love that because it's so true. It's like you're busy, but you're not doing anything.
That's
you're really not moving the world forward. So really creating a sensitivity for, am I just busy right now or am I doing something truly valuable? And one proxy, one tool that I can give in order to calibrate yourself and answer that question, how do I know if I'm fucking around or if I'm doing something worthwhile? Ask yourself, how comfortable am I right now? Because if the answer is I'm super comfy, you're probably fucking around.
There's your tip.
There's my tip.
What do you think? It's good?
Yeah.
That's the tip you want?
That's the tip I want.
Are you comfortable? Because if you're too comfortable, Stelly's going to come yell at you.
I'm going to fucking come yell at you.
All right. So here's my tip. I spend a lot of time in email. I try to push as much things to email as possible. And yes, I love email. And so what I do is in product development, at some point, I know many of you, if you're building product with a team, you build what they call a spec, right? A specifications document, to be very official about it. And a spec has a general format where you're trying to communicate to somebody else of what to do and what needs to be done and why. And so in these emails, like the one we talked about earlier of someone sending an email to both you and I for advice. They're asking about their mobile app. There's a whole episode we recorded on it. I treated my response as a spec. So if you noticed, I bulleted it.
Yeah.
I numbered it.
Yes.
I made sure it was step by step.
Yes.
Because when you do a product development sort of spec, you're trying to, basically you're trying to, it's instructions of what to build and why to build it.
Yes.
And so I treat any of those kind of longer answers from a simple question into like a spec. And then what happens is sometimes I get that question again and again. And so I can essentially copy paste edit.
I love it.
Right? And I'm providing value. It's not being repetitive because the person I'm sending it to the second time never saw it before. But yet I can look up the structure. It's sitting in my email box. So I think of a lot of these things as specs. And when I do that, it helps me think of like not adding fluff to my communication that's unnecessary and focused on that person or me communicating my idea of how to do something. And and I try to find these things that allow me to like do repetition in such a way where it helps me through anything I do. So now I can go, I'm better at writing specs internally and getting somebody to do something or explaining my concept or what I think. So that's my tip, right? Make it a spec.
Good shit. Well, guys, make sure to not fuck around. Make sure to take some of these tips. Let us know what tips you have in managing your time as a founder.
Yes.
Tweet at us and make sure to leave us a review.
Yes.
And rating and feedback. We love you. We'll hear you next week.
See ya.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.